As I'm sure many of you know, when you read scripture for years, there are certain passages that become very meaningful and speak to your heart. And I was really pleased the two scriptures we have this morning are in that category for me, so it gives me great pleasure to share them with you. And our first scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Hear the word of the Lord. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And our second reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. May God add his blessing to our hearing and understanding of his holy word this day.
Thank you, Pastor Sue. This is a fun day in that Sarah and I get to tag team the sermon. But you know, the question is, how do we shine Jesus' light? You heard from the kids, that's the theme, and it's not just for kids. It's for all of us. And when I think about it, I am brought back to Veracruz, Indiana, which was where Carol and I first lived, beginning in 1985, our first parish. It was two churches that shared us. We lived next door to one. That one was the country church, but this was the village church. There were 130 people who lived in the town. And it's actually on the banks of the Wabash River. Let's see that next slide. And if you can kind of tell, it wasn't much of a river. It's right near the beginning of the Wabash. There's no cannonball in sight at all, if you know the song. It's a tiny little town, but worse yet, it was sometimes referred to as being one tank of gas north of the Appalachians or the Ozarks. It was a very, very poor little village. They called it a burg. And one demonstration of that is most of the houses within this little village, 40 or so houses, most of them had no insulation and thus could be rented for about $100 a month. We were privileged after Vacation Bible School to host it, to meet some of the kids. And the church, an older congregation, decided they were going to love on these kids, and particularly identified two, a brother and a sister named Mickey and Mandy, who they wanted to send to camp. And so we decided we'd do that. They had a wonderful experience, and it was on as far away in Indiana as you could get and still be in Indiana. It was on the banks of the Wabash where it was the state border. Let's see that next picture. It's a much bigger, you know, that's the same river. We can all grow. But they had a lot of fun. They sat with a lot of, they lived with a lot of kids and had a great deal of fun. There's a picture of some kids having fun on the next slide at camp. This is actually at Miriam Camp a few years later. But they were surrounded by love and community that was very different. Carol happened to be the cabin counselor for Mandy, the daughter, the girl, and the church had made efforts to help them have little fundraisers so the kids would have money to buy candy or soda at the camp store and feel part of everything when they were there. But when the kids got to camp, they had no money because Dad had stolen it to drink it. And so they had a wonderful time, though, and we were glad, but we knew things were rough, but we didn't know how bad. Because within a week or so after they got home from camp, we learned that Dad and his new wife were placing the kids for adoption. They just didn't want to be bothered. So this was stunning, and it was painful, and, you know, it was very difficult to deal with, but they just didn't want to hear it. And they wanted to blame the kids, but we all had a different opinion. And thankfully, there was a wonderful county welfare officer, worked with them, a woman active in her church, a sincere believer in Christ, and she did everything that she could. And one thing, she brought them, the children, to the foster home that they would need while this thing was sorted out. And it happened that the foster family was, of course, in a different county, but nearby. And the family was a pastoral family. The dad was a pastor. And she was explaining it to Mickey and Mandy as they sat in the back seat and she drove them. And one of the two said, "Well, I guess we'll be saying grace at meals." And, "Well, do you say grace at home now?" And, "Oh, no, Mom and Daddy don't believe in Jesus." And so she said, "Oh, have you two ever given your life to Jesus?" And they said, "Yes, last week at camp." I say that because you never know. And children's souls are so precious. And they need every help they can because you don't know what they're going to be going through. And I'm very happy to tell you that Mickey and Mandy's grandparents, paternal, found out what son had done and weren't terribly pleased, as you might guess. And they adopted Mickey and Mandy, and they went to Virginia to live with the grandparents. And of course, we never saw them again, but it was good to see a positive ending of that. It's an example, though, that not only are we to shine the light, but it's important to do so. It's so critical to do so. Because children, like each of us, are created in the image of God. Are we ready for next slide? You're going to have to do the best. There we go. Shining light next in time. Let's go on. You see, even children need to be taught to do right and not wrong. You know, we like to think of them as innocent, but we have to teach them to be right, don't we? To do the right thing. And they are more receptive when they're small. You know, we get hardened otherwise, but they're more receptive when they're small. It's so important. So it's important for us to feel the urgency of helping children and to help, of course, all our neighbors to walk through life. The challenges, who knew the challenges Mickey and Mandy would face? Who knew the challenges that we just prayed about together and some of the difficulties? But it makes a big difference if you feel you are alone in the world or whether you know that the God who made everything is caring for you and loving you even in the midst of your difficulty. So we know it's important to share, but frankly, a lot of us anyway, maybe all of us, are concerned, maybe even fear, that we will somehow fail so badly at sharing the good news of Jesus that we will accomplish the opposite of what we intend, that we will somehow turn somebody away from the Lord. But there is good news about that, because as we've heard in the two scriptures that Pastor Sue read for us, Jesus both equips us and calls us to shine his light. And we saw that in the Matthew verse. He equips us and he calls us. The Matthew verses describe how we are a city on a hill. And that means God has placed you. You know, you are where God has placed you. That verse is a kind of historic verse, especially for this area. But notice that it doesn't say, try to be a light. It says, you are the light. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to folk who are determined to follow him. In 1630, the ship Arbella arrived in Boston. It was on it was John Winthrop, who would be governor of the Bay Colony for 12 of its first 20 years. And he read a sermon drawn from this passage. And he said that this new colony that was being raised up in New England was a city upon a hill, an example to England and the world of a truly godly society. It added to the fact that Beacon Hill, which was 200 feet higher then than it is now, was truly, they'd have fires on it as beacons to help people find their way. So that's an example from our history of what it understood. We are placed. And like it or not, the world is watching. He was explaining that to the colony then, and it's important for us to hear it now. The world is watching. It is still watching. Children are watching. But they are also watching other examples. And it's also good to love a child and love everyone till they ask why and explain why. But with your actions, give them an appetite to hear it. There's an influential Christian educator named Larry Richard who was fond of talking about a study where children listened to adults telling them not to gamble, and the adults telling them not to gamble were gambling while doing it. Guess what happened? The lesson of what they saw was more effective and more penetrating than what was told. So, obviously, we don't want to say one thing and do the other, but we can give a better example. So, very important, God has placed us. The lesson from Matthew, you are a city on a hill, established, God has placed you. From John, we learn that we have access to the vine, and that what that means, it's an agricultural image of grapes, really. If you think of a grape orchard, you have the long vines, you see the hanging fruit, but connecting the vine to the fruit are the branches. Those branches are how you get to have fruit, but they couldn't do anything if they weren't connected to the vine. The nutrition that the grapes need passes through the vines. And what Jesus is saying with that analogy is that the power to do the work of God comes from Jesus, the vine. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He declares us to be connected. Again, we don't have to try to be connected. He says, you are. You have access. So it's not that we can be light. It's not that we can be branches. Jesus declares us to be connected. So what do we do? Well, I'll just remind us now of the truth and what is emphasized often in the New Testament about spiritual gifts. You can find them in Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 4, Romans chapter 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's several allusions to them, and they all tell us that God gives gifts to believers in order to do his work, in order to encourage, to build up the kingdom. And Paul uses an example of the different parts of the human bodies with their different functions to describe we are empowered and gifted differently by God, but all towards one purpose, and according to how God has chosen to do the gifts. And that's what I love about our church, is that we have this kind of variety going on here. There are folk who love being up front and folk who are determined to stay in the background. You know? And there's also this sense of some Christians know how to kind of speak boldly yet in love. And others really focus on mercy. We need both. It's not the same as a natural talent, although God will use it if we surrender the natural talent to him. If we don't surrender a natural talent to God, it'll end up being an impediment for us. It'll end up being a block between us and God. So whatever our gifts are, we are to encourage others to join the family of God. That's our purpose, is we are the branches. The fruit comes from the branches. Jesus has purposely delegated to us the outreach, the caring. Caring for the children, caring for our neighbors, caring for one another. So we are equipped. We are light, we are branches, we are given gifts, spiritual gifts. But we're also called. We heard about the light. You don't put it under a bushel. And no more lampshades. If you think about the blackout shades that they used in World War II, where you could have lights on in a house, but you couldn't see anything outside. You know, the purpose of a light is to shine, not to be blacked, not to be blocked off. The light needs to shine. You place a light to its best advantage. In the same way, God calls us to use our gifts. Let's remember that what we do as a church is not necessarily to perpetuate this congregation. You'll see on the mugs that will be given out at our dinner next week, that it says, Forward Together. Because, we're celebrating that God's been faithful for 275 years, but he's brought us this far to keep going forward. So he calls us to use his gifts to build his kingdom, which includes rescuing the perishing. You know, I I picture Mickey and Mandy and what the difference of what they could have gone through if the church had not been involved. And so it should raise in us the question of, okay, how can I let my light shine? And that's going to be Sarah's job to answer that one more detailed in just a couple of minutes. But beyond us knowing that we are the light and we are called to shine, the vine, to use John's image, sends the water of life to the branches so they may bear fruit. It's our purpose. We have something to offer. You know, ever since COVID, the world's a little more aware of how important it is to live in community, and we can offer that. People don't know how to find it in the age of the smartphone, because we just stare at each other instead of the people who are with us. We stare at the phone instead of the people who are with us. But we know we need community. We have something to offer. And God is at work in the lives of others. Some of the people you're concerned with right now, God is at work in their lives, making them receptive to the message. Mickey and Mandy were receptive to the message because God had already been working in their lives. So as we seek to understand and use the different spiritual gifts God has given us, remember they will always be used in a way that demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what you see when the Spirit is at work. It's found in Galatians chapter 5, and it's 9 characteristics of love, of joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness, of goodness, of faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you're operating in the will of God, you're going to be operating according to those things. Those are the fruit that we're going to demonstrate. And so like an athlete who goes to the gym, even between games, we practice spiritual disciplines in order to grow more like Jesus and therefore demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. So we step out in faith, though, even while we're still growing. We know that there are a first game of a season is not as perhaps well played as a few further on, because you're still growing, but you still play. You still do what you can with what you got. And so we serve with kindness. We teach with patience. We speak spiritual truth in joyful love. Because the fruit of the Spirit, I believe today especially, they are essential to the gift of healing. The world needs healing. There's so much fragmenting. There's so much animosity at every level. We need to demonstrate healing. And that will come as we demonstrate those fruits of the Spirit. Each one of them pours oil on troubled water. So Jesus both equips us and calls us to shine his light. So the question we all should be asking then is, well, what does that look like? Sarah, what does that look like?
That's a good question.
So the best thing I could think of was to find a story to tell you. That started us off here. And it's about the bulb that thought it could shine. Now, this light bulb said, you know, I have to find a way to shine. The light bulb went to self-help meetings to learn about its inner capacity for light. It read books about how to get brighter. Each morning, the light bulb would wake up and it would recite positive affirmations. I am a light bulb. I believe in myself. I will shine. Nothing ever happened. Eventually, the light bulb became weary and discouraged. It began to doubt who it was and what it could do. And it almost burned out completely. Fortunately, one day, The light bulb was placed carefully into a fixture. Light burst forth and filled the room. The light bulb finally understood this concept. The key was not to try harder, but to plug into the source. Trying to shine on our own can be exhausting. Instead, we're simply called to be closely connected to God and remain in Him. When we do, His light pours forth through us and in a powerful, brilliant way that changes the world. The ways that we shine might not make the news, and that's okay, but they make a huge difference, one that we might not even see until later. You see, we shine for others to see God, His love, His mercy, and His grace. By being plugged in to God, we are equipped to shine His light. That might mean really leaning into God and asking, what is it that He has equipped us with? What gifts has He given to you to use to bring Him the glory? There are so many gifts that He has given us. And after we ask God what it is that He has given us, we can then work on those gifts. Now, growing and maintaining our gifts. When I picture the vine and the branches that we looked at back in John, I obviously think about gardening. You know, growing and maintaining plants, the fruit, the gifts God has given us. Well, you could ask Shirley, I'm not a great gardener. I can't even keep our hanging plants alive. I did better this year, though. I kept them alive longer than 3 weeks, like last year. But I do know a few things about gardening. I know that we need light, we need the sun, we need water, like the branches need water, but we also need to prune the plants. And John even mentions this a few verses before where we read today, that God prunes each gift. He cuts off or cuts back parts of the plants for more fruitful growth. You see, we must use our gifts. We must practice our gifts and shape the gifts for God's glory so that we can better use our gifts for what we were called to use them for. And we need to maintain them. We need to use them with Jesus' help. If we try to use these gifts on our own, we are no longer connected to the source. So how do we maintain and grow our gifts? How do we bear the fruit? We use the gifts. Now, Jesus both equips us and calls us to shine His light. We are called to shine Jesus' light to all. Jesus did not tell us to just shine our light for other Christians or just for, you know, others around our age, but to everyone, including our younger generations. Jesus points at and even emphasizes at times shining His light to children. Let's think back for a quick second to let the little children come to me. How are they going to come to Him and know Him if we aren't shining our light, right? Because it's not our light to shine. It's His light that we are reflecting to the world. And through their families, through their church, their peers, who are shining Jesus' light to them, it's making them wonder, what is this light? And it's drawing them into, you know what, I want to know more about what this light is. I want to know more about what that source is. I want to know more about Jesus. And after Jesus equips us, and we recognize that he has called us, the big question is, where are you called to go and serve? Where are we called to shine Jesus' light? If I walked into a dentist office and said, okay, I'm going to be the doctor for the day, don't go, right? Don't show up. I'm not called to be a doctor. I'm not called to be a dentist, okay? So we are all called to shine Jesus' light in different capacities, in different locations. And I have good news for you today. You have opportunities to shine Jesus' light right here at FCC Hanson. Now, a few months ago, I came to the congregation seeking for help to get some people for childcare for our AA group that meets on Monday evenings. And some members jumped at this opportunity to share Jesus' light with these families who come with their mothers. And we still do have a spot or two open to fill here, but that's one amazing opportunity that we have at FCC Hanson to share and to shine Jesus' light for others to see. And now, because I do spend a lot of my time focusing on the youth, I want to emphasize the opportunities we have to shine Jesus' light to our younger generations. We have different things like Grades in Grace, help lead homework time, make dinner once a week for this group, offer to be present to those who are there, help provide rides that way they can get to this homework time. We have youth fellowship, be a volunteer with our older kids, help foster their spiritual growth. Help them better understand who God is and help prepare a study for these kids. Help with rides. We're always looking for rides, if you can tell, with kids. I mean, we have Sunday school. We have a teacher who works with our youngest students who's been volunteering for 41 years now in a row. And she's looking for someone to come alongside her. That way she can show the ropes. And sometime, hopefully soon, retire. But because she wants to shine Jesus' light, she doesn't want to just walk off and say, okay, have fun, go find someone. Right? She loves what she does. She loves being able to shine Jesus' light. But we need others to help with this as well. We also have teachers who are never in service because they are teaching our classes. Take on a K through 3 class or a 4 through 6 grade class once a month and let our teachers have a chance to be fed and watered as well with God's word. We have a Vacation Bible School. Help shine Jesus' light to those who come to Vacation Bible School by leading groups, stations, donating your time, your talents. And others we are hoping to add more regularly are youth group Bible studies and youth band practices. We have kids who are eager to learn instruments who want to start a youth band. But the biggest opportunity that you have is to be present. Be present in others' lives. And not only on Sunday mornings from across the room. Talk with others. Talk with the kids and their families. Be invested in their lives and help them to strengthen their spiritual lives. With all these opportunities, and these are a few, I do have a few more, and I'm like, okay, I can't keep going on. But especially with our youth and families, when you work with these students, these families, you will have a rewarding experience. You can build intergenerational relationships. And that might be scary at first. I understand that, to talk to someone younger or older than you. And there may be a language barrier. I am talking about English and Gen Z language barrier there. But there are so many benefits to intergenerational relationships. To name a few, studies have actually shown that those in intergenerational relationships present less depression, better physical health, and higher degrees of life satisfaction. They actually tend to be happier with their present life and more hopeful for the future. Last year, we attempted monthly game nights to foster intergenerational time after a successful dinner and a game night last November. Sadly, most of the adults who regularly showed up were either our pastors or our pastor and his wife or the parents of our youth members. We want to help increase intergenerational time with everyone, because not only are there emotional and physical benefits, but there are spiritual benefits as well. There is spiritual growth for both the older and the younger generations. And there could be so much growth that could happen if we use our calling to shine Jesus' light, and the experience can be so rewarding. Now, I do understand, like I talked about earlier, that some people are not equipped or called into working with our children and our youth ministries. But I urge you to pray about where you are called, asking where else could we use your talents? Where else could you use your talents? Where else could God use your talents? And how else and where else could you shine Jesus' light where you are called? Jesus both equips us and calls us to shine his light. A number of years ago, this would have been, I was in high school at that point. I was like, you know what? I'm going to Soul Fest. I'm going to have a good time. We're good. I have nothing I have to do. I'm a kid. Well, I was in charge of the younger kids. And the thing that kids do at Soul Fest when we were at Monadnock, well, not Monadnock, at Gunstock, is we would go up and down the ski lift. And guess what we'd do afterwards? We'd go up and down the ski lift. And then after that, up and down the ski lift, right? Well, one time we went up and down the ski lift and we're in line and the ski lift shut down. What do we do? What do we do? I mean, there are concerts going on, but we're really here for the ski lift right now. What do we do? Well, they said, it'll be back up in about a half hour. The kids are like, well, we don't want to get out of line then, because then the line's going to be too long when we come back. So we want to stay here for a half hour in the blazing sun with a bunch of, like, these would be really like 10 to 13-year-olds. Okay. Yeah. So after a few minutes, they start getting kind of rowdy. They're like, okay, how long has it been? It's been 2 minutes. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't know at the time that this was a calling, but I recognized later on, of course, that, oh, I'm really glad I did this. I'm really glad I listened to what God was telling me to do. I said, you know what? Let's sit down. I have a Bible in my backpack. And I opened it up. I'm like, oh, let's do a study on patience. Let's do a study on patience while we're waiting for the ski lift to open back up here. So we all sat down, though, and I was terrified. I am probably 15 years old at this time, at most, going, okay, well, in the back of my Bible, it says patience, and these are the scripture verses. We're going to go there. So we sat down and we started reading the Bible and talking about what does patience mean. We started looking at all these verses, and the kids were having incredible conversations about what patience was. And they were exercising patience, which, if you know, for our younger kids, is really difficult to do. But being so nervous and so, at that point, unqualified, I was like, what do I do? But Jesus equips us, and he calls us to shine his light. And sometimes you might not know what that is until that second of, let's do a Bible study on patience. But he equips us to do this. He equips us to do what he needs us to do to share his light. Now, a lot of those kids who were in that patience, really impromptu Bible study, most of them joined our church. Most of them were present throughout all their high school lives, and even some in college lives. And when they went off to college, they were like, you know what? I miss church. I want to go back. I want to talk to someone at the church, or I'm going to go find a different church to go be a part of. But that's what happens when you shine Jesus' light. He uses that to the point that you have no idea what's going to happen, but he knows. He knows that maybe that one Bible study helped them to realize, hey, there's something more that I can be doing. And maybe, you know, God is equipping me to do something, and God is calling me to do something more. He wants me to be present. He wants me to know more. And you know what? I want to know more about this light that is being shined from others that I am seeing. That is the amazing opportunity that we have and the rewarding experience that we have as just members of our church, members of God's family, being able to shine Jesus' light and say, you know what? This is who I'm shining my light for. I don't want any of the praise. This goes to God. I could not do this on my own if I was not plugged in to the source. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we are connected to you, that we don't have to worry about, you know, what do I have to do to be equipped and called? You have already equipped us. You have already called us. But help us seek to find what you have equipped us with and where you are calling us to use these gifts. Father, we thank you for all the opportunities that we've had so far in our life to shine your light. And I pray that we continue to find ways to shine your light. That we continue to show the community, show our younger generations, show our families, show those all over the world who you are. And make them wonder, what is this light? What is this source? And how can I be connected to this source as well? Father, please help us to really use our gifts. Help us to be this city on a hill. Help us to recognize that we are connected to you, that you are the vine that we need to be attached to, and that the only thing that sustains us is you. We thank you so much for all that you are doing in our lives and all you continue to do. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.